PromoHomo.tv begins right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Snow. I mean show. I am your host, Nicholas Snow. We are simulcasting right now on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live. The date is May 30th, 2016. It's 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. I'm your host, Nicholas Snow. Before we continue, I just want to give a shout out to the families of those who were lost in service for freedom. Today is Memorial Day, and I want to show a photo of my own father. Actually, I think it's going to be better lit if I show it here. This is my father, John Lloyd Snow. This is my father, John Lloyd Snow. And he was killed in 1972 in a plane crash he's buried in Arlington National Cemetery. It's an emotional topic for all of us that have lost someone in the war. But at Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth, Texas in 1972, he was killed while serving in the Air Force. So I just want to acknowledge that this is Memorial Day, and I want to thank everybody who served and all of the families that sacrificed. So today my guest is Allison Lenore and Alora. I need to slow down and take a deep breath. And she's coming up after this.
PromoHomo.tv begins right now. Simulcast on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live, which basically means this is a worldwide television show that you can watch from any internet-connected device and you can call in. How cool is that? This show is made possible with the generous support of Desert AIDS Project, Lulu California Bistro, 849 Restaurant and Lounge, and we're a proud media sponsor of the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, Palm Springs Pride, and numerous other organizations and causes. For more about our sponsors and those we support, visit promohomo.tv. And now, on with the snow. Joe.
And here I am. So, wasn't that cool? All right, and now I want to actually introduce our special guest, Allison. And Allison, you are on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone, and thank you, Nicholas, for having me on the show.
Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful that you're here. And I did several live shows last week, and I spent the weekend getting my studio together. So this could be perfect. And what's really nice is you get to look at me while I'm interviewing you. And the people who are watching can see me talking to you. And then when I want to come over here and show this perspective and the call-in number, I can do that. As you can see, the call-in number is 347-215-8866. That's 347-215-8866. And then I get to multitask as well, doing a variety of things. And I want to actually let you know that one of the websites that I'm going to be referencing, I don't know how well it will show up. Yes, websites I'm going to be referencing in this particular episode is glad.org/transgender, glad.org/transgender. It is a wonderful resource, and we'll be referencing that during the show. And Allison, we already have... someone out there in Facebook land, Don Harriman, says hello to our dear Allison. Kristen Johnson says, it's wonderful to see you. Paulina Angel says, yay, Allison and Nicholas. And so anyway, we already have a very active show. And that's very cool.
Thank you.
All right. So what do you think about... weird sort of feedback. I have to figure out what it is.
Well, it's probably my hair.
All right, I hear a hum. Well, hopefully that will go away or we'll figure it out. There are no commercial breaks, so let me actually, I'm going to turn down the volume on that and see if it helps. It didn't help. All right. There might be a hum in the background. We can't do anything about it, but I'm going to turn the volume back up on these because I will need the volume. All right, so Allison.
Yes.
I had the opportunity to sort of have a warm-up conversation with you.
Right.
I thought it was fascinating, and I've got to figure out what that buzzing is. Bear with me, because that buzzing wasn't happening before. So I'm going to unplug that and plug that in. All right, so people in the audience, if you're hearing that buzzing, just comment and let me know. I'm not really sure what to do about it. Which one is causing it? Oh, that one works. I found the source of the buzzing.
Yay!
Okay. So, one of the points that I want to make for our listeners, let's just start with sort of a general discussion.
Okay.
I've talked about this issue a lot in the media, and so I've tried to become good at explaining a basis for understanding what it is to be transgender. I clearly don't have the perspective that you do. But one of the points that I like to make is that sexual orientation, biology, physical appearance, and gender identity, none of those individually dictate the other. The assumption is that they do, but none of those actually do dictate the other. Would you explain from your own perspective why those are different? Physical appearance, gender identity, biology?
Well, first off, let's start with biology. You know, everybody assumes that if you're male, you're XY. If you're female, you're XX. There's variance on that, which is why we have intersex individuals who are born with ambivalent genitalia. But gender identity and sexual orientation have nothing to do with each other. If that were true, every gay man would want to be a woman, and every lesbian would want to be a man. We know that not to be true. So, therefore, if someone's transgender, when they transition, they are not necessarily in a traditional role model, meaning that not all male to female transgenders, when they transition, automatically start having sexual feelings towards a gender they've never been attracted to before. Or trans men, same case scenario. So therefore, myself, though I've always been trans, I know I've known that concept personally since I was 3 years old. I didn't know what to call it, but I believed that I was a girl and that somehow some dreadful mistake had been made. As I grew up and went through puberty, I realized that I was sexually attracted to men. Yet I have several friends who are trans, who have transitioned, who have always been grown up physically male, mentally female, but they have been sexually attracted to women, and when they transition, they are still attracted to women. So I'm categorized as a transgender woman who identifies now as heterosexual because I'm attracted to men, so that fits in the box. And my friends who are attracted to women and always have been, now they're transgender women who identify as lesbian, just as a case example. So, you know, our brains are not set in one particular cookie cutter mold. We're all different. That's why there's a rainbow of orientations and self-identifying features. And so therefore you identify as a gay man, and I identify as a heterosexual woman because I'm fully transitioned. Before I transitioned, I identified as a gay man who was trans by gender identity.
Okay, so
then if that makes sense,
no, it makes sense to me, and I love talking about the information. I want to switch over here to GLAAD and get some of the information that is on GLAAD.org/ transgender. So, and remember, the calling number is 347-215-8866. We don't have anyone in the calling in yet. All right, so on the GLAAD Transgender Media Program page, and I think this information has been up there for a while, it says, according to a recent Pew poll, nearly 90% of Americans say they personally know someone who is lesbian, gay, or bisexual. However, according to a recent Harris poll, only 16% of Americans say they personally know someone who is transgender, which is double from the 8% who said so in 2008. I feel confident that this information, that these statistics have changed because there's so much more awareness recently in the last 6 months or a year. Would you agree, Allison?
Oh, of course. With Caitlyn Jenner and Chaz Bono and Laverne Cox and all the other celebrities who have come out as trans and publicly transitioned in some cases, a lot more people are identifying with it, and that's one of the lovely things about coming out of any closet when you're a celebrity is that you help educate the general public.
Jen Acabo says, proud of my girl, Allison. And I want to say hello to Raphael and Kevin, who are joined in. I want to continue, though. So the same poll showed that while 27% of millennials say they personally know someone who is transgender, only 9% of Americans over 45 say the same. Given this reality, most Americans learn about transgender people through the media. Well, that's never been more true. So when the media talks about transgender issues, it is imperative that they get it right. You know, you talked about Caitlyn Jenner as one of the reasons why transgender issues are being so prolifically discussed. What is your take on Caitlyn's journey and the media response to it?
Well, I was originally a Caitlyn fan, and then she kind of became a loose cannon and was saying a lot of off-the-wall things that I felt was not in hers or our community's best interest. However, I have made the decision I'm going to support her on her journey because most of us have not been put in the position of transitioning in public. And she has to find her way like all the rest of us. I know that I was not the person I am today when I first transitioned because I had to figure it all out. I was so, as we all are, you're so overwhelmed by other people's responses to your transition that sometimes you don't always make best choices. So I'm going to let Caitlyn do her thing, and even though I don't agree with some of the things she said, I'm going to wait and see where she's at 5 years from now because I have fully transitioned over 6 years now. So, yeah.
Well, I'm friends with several of the cast and also the producer, and I've had Blossom Brown on my show.
Oh, I love her.
She's fantastic, and Blossom has a big announcement that she's going to be making. Sebastian Reich says, love Allison. you know, it's interesting that on the GLAAD transgender page, in big and bold, it says, click here to see GLAAD's updated tip sheet for covering Caitlyn Jenner. I'm clicking through to it, and actually, this is a bit dated because it says, GLAAD response to Vanity Fair cover featuring Caitlyn Jenner releases updated tip sheet for journalists. But even though this clearly came out about the time that cover broke, let's just read some of this page. By sharing her journey with the world, Caitlyn Jenner is accelerating acceptance of transgender people everywhere and reminds us all how important it is to live your most authentic self, said GLAAD President and CEO Sarah Kate Ellis. For a transgender person to step into the world as his or her authentic self is a moment of tremendous freedom, said Nick Adams, GLAAD's Director of Programs Transgender Media. The world can now see what Caitlyn Jenner has always known, that she is and always has been a woman. Before I continue, that brings up another sort of aspect of it. One of the things I talked about, that we've talked about already, is that your gender identity has nothing to do with your appearance.
Right.
For example, I read a news article or saw a link on Facebook where a transgender woman wears a beard and wants to redefine what it is to be a woman. And when you and I got together for tea, one of the things that I talked about is my vision is that no one will ever assume someone's gender at any level based upon their appearance.
Well, I think that it's heading that way. I know that the younger people don't really care as much as anybody over 45, and particularly people in my age group. You'll figure that out when you see my birthday. because we've grown up with these stereotypes. And I think the wonderful thing that's happening in the world, and I thank Caitlyn Jenner for that, I thank Chaz Bono for that, and Jenny Boyland and Candace Kane and Laverne Cox and everyone, is that we have to stop stereotyping people. So if this transgender woman wants to wear a beard, then good for her. It's, you know, I'm definitely a girly girl, but that's my own personal choice. It's not up to me to judge. I've said to people several times, our journey in this life is not to judge, and it's not to try and understand the other person's point of view, because you never will, because you can't. It's impossible, because you're not walking in the other person's shoes. Our job in life is to be compassionate.
I agree. Angie Titus says, we support you and we love you, Aunt Allie. And Sebastian says, love you both. Getting back over to the GLAAD page, on the tip sheet, it says, and this is good for individuals out there as well. And as I read these, Allison, if you want to jump in with anything, by all means.
I will.
Okay. Okay. Do describe people Okay, I've done this before. I am a professional broadcaster. Do describe people who transition as transgender and use transgender as an adjective. Caitlyn Jenner is a transgender woman. Don't use transgender as a noun. For example, don't say Caitlyn Jenner is transgender. I think I might have already made that mistake in this interview.
Me too.
Don't use transgendered. Transgender never needs an extraneous ED at the end. Don't use transsexual or transvestite. So, Allison, if someone has had sexual reassignment surgery, well, how would a transgender person decided to talk about it?
Yes.
They wouldn't use the, I guess they wouldn't use the word transsexual either. Would they use the term sexual reassignment surgery?
Well, see, that's a gray area for me, because I grew up in the era when transsexual meant that you had completed your journey. The reason that it is no longer politically correct is that not all transgender identifying people
have had any sort of surgery.
Have had surgery or plan on having surgery. So they wanted to take transsexual out of the dialogue, because then it would distinguish between and therefore segregate a group within a group.
Now, one of the things, actually, let's go through all of this so I can figure out what to and for my own interview here. I have read all this before, but it's all new in many ways for all of us. Do refer to her as Caitlyn Jenner. Don't refer to her by her former name.
Ooh, no.
She has changed. You feel strongly about that.
Yes, people do that to me, especially people that have known me a long time that refer to me as my other name, and I call it the name that shall not be spoken. And I find it very insulting, because how can they possibly look at me the way I look now and refer to me as someone that no longer exists? The core of who I am has always been the same, but the core of who I am is Alice, and it was never that other person.
Very well said. Very well said. I might say that many times. Very well said. Because she's very well spoken. So referring to Caitlyn and anybody that's transitioned, but in this case Caitlyn, she has changed her name and should be accorded the same respect received by anyone who has changed their name. Since Caitlyn Jenner was known to the public by her prior name, we had a little lapse. Kristen says, just a comment about the setup. I love your studio. Very professional. Thank you, Kristen. All right, so the thing about Facebook Live is all of a sudden we could have a pause, but the nice thing is it reconnects. So we're still connected. We're live. So continuing, since Caitlyn Jenner was known to the public by her prior name, it may be necessary initially to say Caitlyn Jenner, formerly known as. However, I don't think anybody needs to know who Caitlyn Jenner was formerly known as now. I'm not even going to say it.
Good.
However, once the public has learned Jenner's new name, do not continually refer to it in stories, the point that I just made. Do use female pronouns. Okay, just a second. Let me finish reading it, and I'll let you comment. Do use female pronouns, she, her, hers, when referring to Caitlyn Jenner. So,
I feel very strongly about that, too. And I've been the recipient of people using. And again, I'll say, how could you possibly look at me and use a male pronoun? It's insulting. It's rude. And it shows the fact that you have absolutely no respect for me as a human being, or you wouldn't be doing that, especially in public.
Okay. Loving this. Do avoid male pronouns and Caitlyn's prior name even when referring to events in her past. For example, prior to her transition, Caitlyn Jenner won the gold medal in the men's decathlon at the Summer Olympics held in Montreal, 1976.
I would agree. And when I talk about my past, I always refer to myself in the present tense as Allison, or when I was a little girl, or et cetera, because it doesn't need to be discussed anymore.
Cool. Stephen Henke has joined in, and Stephen, since you were on the show last week, you can see that I have made improvements to the studio, so you got to come back again. All right, so continuing on our discussion of the GLAAD.org transgender section referring to media tips about how to cover a Caitlyn or other people who are transgendered. Do refer to Caitlyn's female identity as her gender identity, not her sexual orientation. Gender identity is one's own internal, deeply held sense of being male or female. Sexual orientation is one who is attracted, is who one is attracted to. They are not the same thing and should not be conflated or confused. We were talking about that as well. But getting back to a prior point that you just made, the truth of the matter is you were a little girl, even though other people perceived you as being a boy, because in your heart and your soul and your spirit and everything that makes up who a human being was, you were a little girl. So it's not like rewriting history. It's referring to the truth of what was and still is.
Exactly. I'd like to tell a story for some time.
Please.
I thought I was a little girl from the time I was 3 years old. And when I was in kindergarten, my kindergarten teacher, and we're talking 1960, because I'm 61 years old, for curious out there. And my kindergarten teacher called my parents in for a parent-teacher conference and said, you need to send your child to a psychiatrist because, now I'm going to use the other pronoun, because he thinks he's a little girl, and it's very disturbing to the other children. And every time we tell him he is not a girl, he throws temper tantrums and cries. So my adoptive parents, in order to control the situation, told me that if I didn't stop telling people I was a little girl, they were going to put me in the booby hatch with the other crazy people. So therefore, I went underground with it. Yet I got mixed messages because my grandmother bought me dolls. She let me dress up in her clothes, thinking it was a phase. So it's who I've always known myself to be. I used to pray every night before I went to bed, please, God, make me like all the other little girls. And every morning I'd wake up, and I'd still have that birth defect as far as I was concerned. So my story is no different than anybody else's that identifies with a gender that is not in accordance with their genitalia.
Kristen responds, we are all allowed to define our own identity and to shape our identity how we choose according to the truth of who we are. It's our story. Well, ultimately, that's true. We can make those decisions, but for so many of us, and I don't care if you're dealing with sexual orientation or gender identity.
Right.
I don't care if you're dealing with sexual orientation or gender identity, or even telling your Republican family you're a Democrat, anyone who chooses to honor their truth has to go against those who would suppress it. So we might be allowed to, we might be given the option, but many of us have paid grave prices for expressing our truth.
Exactly. And that's why we have to educate society. Because it will be freeing to every individual, not just the LGBT community, but there are people out there that, as you said, they identify as a Democrat and a Republican family. Whatever your truth is, that we should have the freedom to be able to express it.
Very well said. So, I don't necessarily want you to out your age, but what grade were you in when the school talked to your parents and they threatened to institutionalize you?
I was in kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
1960.
You were in kindergarten in 1960. You knew you were a little girl.
I did.
And the world was trying to tell you you weren't. And you were threatened with being institutionalized. And you went underground. So at what point in your life did you start to honor your truth publicly? And I guess that at first it was probably around being sexually oriented to be attracted to men, that might be one of the ways that you started to express your truth, the coming out process at that level.
Well, at 10 years old, I saw a Police Gazette with Christine Jorgensen on the cover. So then I knew that I was not alone. I knew what to identify with. I knew that there was a solution to my problem. So that was my initial coming to terms with it myself. But at 14 in 1969, by then I had read Christine Jorgensen's autobiography. I had read every article on everybody from April Ashley to Dame Margaret Rutherford's son that transitioned. It was in Time magazine. And got all this information and found out I was living in Seattle and or Tacoma, and found out that the University of Washington in 1969 was going to start screening to do sex reassignment surgery. So at 14, I came out to my redneck adoptive parents with all my magazines and books and articles that I researched and told him that I was, at the time, a transsexual and that I needed to go through the sex reassignment. It did not go well. I tried to commit suicide. They sent me to a psychiatrist, the best thing that ever happened to me because I was lucky to have gotten a psychiatrist who was on my side. Unfortunately, my parents were not willing to do anything about it. And I have one other story. When I was 13 years old, my next-door neighbor, Angie, that was on there, it was her mother. Her mother and I grew up next door, and that's why she calls me Aunt Allie, because I've known her since she was born. Her mother, Linda, was 16, and I was 13, and her boyfriend, Gary, was 17. And they were dating, and Gary was a very compassionate young man for the time and for the age. And then one time when we were alone, he asked me, "Do you want to be a girl?" And I, in that moment in time, took a very deep breath, and I trusted him and said yes. Getting emotional. And he said, "That's okay, I'll protect you." So that gave me the courage to do what I did when I was 14. And I've continued to be open about who I am since that time. I came out to my high school friends in the 70s. I tried to transition when I was 19, but that startled everybody, and it really, you know, made everybody freak out. So I went into the closet with it again, and then I lived as a gay man until I transitioned almost 7 years ago.
So you were living as a gay man for decades,
yes.
And then you had the courage to transition. What gave you that courage?
I was so miserable and so unhappy and was spending all of my time when I was going to sleep, when I woke up, when I was working, when I was watching a movie, every moment in time I was obsessed with wanting to be free to be who I am. And it got to the point where I wasn't living life anymore. I was just existing. I was walking through life. And I tried to take my own life again in January of 2008 by going in the garage and starting the car and opening up the window. And a little voice — I'm a very spiritually oriented person, by the way — and a little voice in my head screamed at me, what are you doing? And so I had the presence of mind to turn off the car and stagger out of the garage and wake up my partner, Bill, at the time, and tell him what I did. And we walked outside, and he walked me around the pool, and we got in the pool, we got in the jacuzzi. We talked, and he finally said, "Well, if I'm going to lose you as a partner, I'd rather still have you alive. So you've got to do this." So that was when I finally said, "If I don't know, succeed next time." And now I realize that I didn't want to die. I just wanted to be free.
Okay, so we can both start crying now. I want to do something just technically, because we had a buzz and I have two sets of speakers and I've turned one of them off. So I need to figure out which one is plugged into the phone. Okay, that's what I thought. So what I'm going to do is I'm changing some external speakers. Okay, that should work out just fine because I want to actually surprise everybody and share some of your music, which is queued up. I wanted you to, we're going to jump forward in your story because I would like to share this song that I've queued up from your Facebook page. But one of the things that you also found as Allison was your singing career.
Exactly.
So tell me how that came to be.
Well, when I first moved here, my former self joined Bella Duvall's cabaret troupe. And I sang with the troupe as my former self, though I was never fully accepted. I auditioned for the McCallum Theater several times as my former self. They never took me. And then when I transitioned as Allison, all my friends that had been in the McCallum Theater said, why don't you try it one more time? And the first time I auditioned as Allison, I got into the McCallum Theater open call in 2010. And I was informed by one of the people there that the reason they didn't take me before is because I was so feminine. You know, there was a disconnect between presenting as male and how I sang and how I presented myself, that they never really felt comfortable with putting me through. It was never about my voice. It was about my persona, because the McCallum Theater attracts a lot of conservative older patrons, and they didn't know how the audience would accept me. When I showed up as Allison, they felt the puzzle pieces fit, and I got in, and I was again in the McCallum Theater open call last year in 2015.
So you literally had someone on staff at the McCallum Theater tell you that the reason you weren't cast was because they felt you were too feminine as a man?
Yes. And they didn't know how the audience would react to me. They didn't have a problem with it, but they felt the audience would.
I think we just broke some news there. Tell me about this performance that I have queued up.
Well, this is my audition for the McCallum Theater this year.
This was. Well, I think that we should roll it in. Let's just go over here, and you can find this on Allison's Facebook page as well, but let's listen to it right now. Oops, it's not playing. Just a second. I think that's the result of me having plugged in and unplugged and plugged in different speakers, so let's see if I can do this again. Bear with me. This is live television on the internet, and we're simulcasting. And let's see if this will work. Hopefully it will. Yes, it's going to.
Well, hello there, good old friend of mine. You've been reaching for yourself for such a long time. There's so much to say, no need to explain. Just an open door for you to follow me in around the rain. It's a long road when you're all alone, and someone like you will always reach you. A long way home, there's no right or wrong. I'm not here to blame. I just want to be the one to keep you from the rain. And you'll fly the sky. Now that I know you're all right, time has left us older and wiser. I know I think of us like a new home.
I dedicated this song To all the gay, lesbian youth who are trapped in families that don't understand them, to everybody with the courage to let their light shine. And this song is for everybody because this room is filled with diverse people from all walks of life who get it. And I hope that this song becomes an anthem for the gay and lesbian civil rights movement. Ladies and gentlemen, I present for you Stonewall. For over 25 years, throughout every season, fighting together every day and night. Cause we're prejudiced, and there's a fine new reason. For the land is in progress and we're trying to save it from the Pharisees' assaults upon our lives. Our freedom is at hand and time to claim it. Let your light don't come back. Let your light don't come. Let your heart go home. Let the world go home.
Such a wonderful person.
Well, so are you, and we had lots of other messages out here. We've got Dana Atkins, love you both. Kristen says, Nicholas Snow and Allison Lenore and Alora together in a duet. Yay, that I guess they want us to do a duet. Thank you both for sharing your lives with us. Much admiration. Dana Atkins says, I didn't know you sang. Yes, Dana. Angie, powerful message. Thank you. And Kristen, yay! So I'm going to give it to you, Allison, truly, for the very last word, as long or short of a word as you want.
Well, I love the fact that you are out there speaking your truth. That's what I try to do. I believe knowledge is power, as the old saying goes. And if anybody here that listened to this show learned something today, then that makes my life very happy. So just go out into the world and help spread the word that it doesn't matter.
For all of our upcoming programs, social media links.
Cut you off. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter what you identify as or what your sexual orientation is or the color of your skin or your religious beliefs or political affiliations. We're all human beings and we're all just trying to survive and to find some ounce of happiness. So that's my word on that subject.
Thank you, Allison. I know we just met in person recently, but I can say from the bottom of my heart, I love you.
I love you, too.
And I love you for listening, and I thank you for watching, and I'm going to take it away with this little outro, and I want to thank you for your patience with me as I am learning how to broadcast live on the Internet in a way that's informing, entertaining, and technically sound.
For all of our upcoming programs, social media links, and a link to all of our advertisers, visit promohomo.tv. Until next time, I'm Nicholas Snow.
We're done.
That was beautiful.
Oh, my God, Allison. We did an hour and 5 minute broadcast. That was so informative, and it went off without a hitch.
I had the best time.
Thank you for bearing with all the technical problems, but I think that actually the technical problems are part of the entertainment.
Uh-huh.
I think that, frankly, it's probably fascinating for someone out there to see all this and realize that it's happening with just a phone. The simulcast ended, I think that the